Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon is based on the gospel reading and the phrase from Nathanael's lips, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" William Lay was a pastor, a young pastor in Bavaria, which is in the southeastern corner of Germany. He finished his studies around the year 1840, and he began to think about where he might serve as a parish pastor. Now, Lea had some characteristics that were viewed by some as virtues and by others as liabilities. He was idealistic, determined, courageous, outspoken, and of course, in the mind of his detractors, brash. And while studying theology, he had come to the conclusion that his expression of Christianity, the evangelical Lutheran church in Bavaria, was too worldly. He was giving in to relativizing what he believed was a clear and pure gospel message, one that should not be compromised. So Lea was especially concerned about the confessional stance of the church in his generation. He wanted a clear, solid, straightforward approach to Christian doctrine to be lifted up among the people. Well, that kind of thinking didn't sit too well with the more accommodating leadership of the church in Bavaria. And even though he was an extremely gifted preacher, one who appeared to have a great future awaiting him in what could have been one of the large, prestigious congregations in the city of Nuremberg, his superior saw to it that he got no reward for what they saw was his stubborn impertinence. And so when it came time for Lea to be assigned to a congregation, he got the shock of his life. Instead of being placed on the ministerial staff of a large city parish, he was assigned to a backwater congregation, a village with an almost unpronounceable and unspellable name, one that many considered a mudhole of a place. In the village of Neuendetislau, that's a mouthful, this young clergyman now could have fallen into despair and cursed his very bad luck. But he didn't. He decided to put his considerable gifts for ministry to work and to borrow a contemporary phrase, bloom where he was planted. Now, another phrase was probably in the back of his mind. It would have been a line from our gospel reading, "Can anything good come out of a dead-end village named Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of a mud hole named Neuendetislau?" Well, Lea spent his entire ministry there. And over time, the Lutheran congregation of Neuendetislau, once considered to be on its last legs and ready to shut down, became a thriving and rapidly growing faith community. Lea was responsible for turning this mud hole of a place into a thriving ministry center. His parish gave birth to schools for children and adults, training centers for deaconesses and missionary pastors, or a hospital and an orphanage. Many of those missionary pastors were sent to Michigan, where our church had its early roots. In fact, St. Lorenz, which is the largest church in Neuendetislau or in Nuremberg, there's a parish in Frankenmuth named St. Lorenz. And so 150 years later, people visiting St. Lorenz, not only in the United States, but in Nuremberg, Germany, find the largest Lutheran congregation. And there they're greeted with displays describing the significant ministry and outreach work of this Bavarian church. That interesting and ironic sentence in the display reads, "If you want to see this ministry being carried out at its best, you need to visit the village of Neuendetislau." Can any good thing come out of a mud hole? Can any good thing come out of a dying congregation? Out of a tiny group in a suburban church trying to do something to improve the world in some small way? Can something good come out of a handful of committed church folk eager to change their neighborhood, their block, their town, their city, when a group is only populated by pious nobodies? Well, the implied answer in today's gospel reading, of course, is yes. In fact, that's where the things have almost always come from. The German pastor Leah really is somewhat of a modern Nathaniel. You know, our gospel reading is all that we hear about Nathaniel until chapter 21 of John, where he was among those on the boat when Jesus appeared on the shore and told them to cast their nets over one side if they wanted to make a catch, and nearly caused them to scuttle the ship. That was the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus who appeared after his crucifixion and gave hope to this abandoned group who had lost hope. Here's what Frederick Buechner says about Nathanael. Nathanael doesn't appear on any lists of apostles, but he probably considered it an honor enough just to have been on hand that morning on the beach, especially considering that unfortunate remark he'd made long ago about Nazareth. So that's about all that we even hear about Nathanael. But the most remarkable thing of the story is not that Nathanael believed, but that Jesus, in a phrase, gave Nathanael a first glimpse of who Nathanael was. Jesus said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael had never thought of it just that way before. But come to think about it, that was who he was. And he knew immediately that he was in the presence of someone exceptional, someone whose importance was a different kind of thing than anything that he had known or expected before. And that sense of calling then comes from both deep within, but also from an unexpected source that lies without. That casual remark from Philip, "Come and see." That invitation transformed a whole life, inside and out. It requires listening, even if we resist it at first. In 1923, George Bernard Shaw wrote St. Joan, a play about Joan of Arc. Joan, in classic irony, was burned at the stake in 1431 for presumed heresies, yet was elevated to sainthood by the very church that had condemned her, albeit about 500 years after the fact. But a scene from the play depicts the Archbishop and King Charles questioning Joan. The Archbishop asks, "How do you know you're right?" Joan answers, "My voices." The king interrupts, "Oh, your voices, your voices. Why didn't the voices come to me? I'm the king, not you." Joan responds, "They do come, but you don't listen." Nathanael listened to the voice of Jesus instead of his own voice, his own prejudices, his own small thinking. The greatest gift any of us has to give another is just this view of who they are. Not as a result of some deep inward search, but in the twinkling of an eye, in the turn of a phrase, to tell someone who they are and what they are meant to be in this world. That is a gift beyond measure. It's a gift that the people of the church give to one another. It means growing where you are, being the person that God has gifted you to be in this place. You know, we can be so thankful to God and to congregations of believers like us who have been called to work in the church's church with useful work to do for the sake of something greater than ourselves. And in this process of being the church, I suspect that we've discovered that there is more in us than we ever expected was there. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It was a very small town, very undistinguished. Nothing prestigious had ever been associated with. What's more, Nazareth doesn't even mention rate of mention in the Hebrew Scriptures. But Nathanael puts aside his prejudice when Jesus caused him to see more of who he was than he'd ever seen before. And Nathanael became a new person, and his old life was gone forever. You know, you and I may find ourselves saying of the people, maybe even of our own church, "Can anything good come out of this place?" I mean, other churches are certainly much more prestigious. We may be a small town infamous for surfing and for rowdy 4th of July parties. Our schools and their sports teams don't make the state playoffs and they don't beat Modern Day. And besides, our town doesn't even rate a mention in the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures. But the people of this church open up themselves in ways that are beyond what any of us can do individually. Our gifts of ministry are often unexpected, even to ourselves. And so I hope we continue to grow to see more in the life of our church than we thought ever could be there. I hope we will grow to see more and more as we open up ourselves to new opportunities for ministry in the name of the one who calls us, no matter who we are, no matter how inconspicuous our talents. You know, I doubt if Jesus' friends or relatives ever told him to bloom where he was planted. I mean, that's an expression of our age, not theirs. In fact, there's every chance that the people who knew Jesus as a youth and as a young adult may have entertained serious doubts about him amounting to probably not very much. And like Leah, they may have found him to be pushy and overly idealistic and rash and totally unrealistic. We can only be thankful that he didn't stay in Nazareth. We can only be thankful that the ministry pioneers in our day didn't give up and quit. And we can only be thankful that many people in this congregation today, perhaps also you, have decided to bloom where they are planted, to become instruments of God's invitation. That's hopeful for our shared future in our ministry together. Because you see, God always prospers the work of the faithful, even in ways that we don't anticipate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.